Okay, so the big movie releases for this weekend include This Feminine Journey.
I used to have this appetite for my life, and it is just gone. I want to go someplace where I can marvel at something.
This very angsty comic book love story.
If you want something bad, you have to fight for it. Step up your game, Scott. Break out the L word.
Lesbian?
The other L word.
Lesbians?
But along the self-discovery depicted in Eat, Pray, Love and the sensitivity of Scott Pilgrim versus the world.
That second one is Scott Pilgrim versus the world.
Yes, that's Michael Cera. Theatergoers also have this next option.
Bring me money here, now!
You want the money? Go get it.
That is The Expendables, a violent, punching, shooting, yelling, explosion-filled testosterone
slash
celebration.
Retirement program.
Right.
For these old
there is something kind of odd about The Expendables, and that is that all of the stars are washed-up geriatric 80s action figures. Sylvester Stallone, Dolph Lundgren, Arnold Schwarzenegger. And is this movie kind of the death knell for whom the bell tolls? It tolls for the macho guy in the films. That's the theory of Takeaway contributor and Newsday critic Ray for Guzman, who you believe the macho man could be dying out in film, right?
Oh, I actually believe the macho man has long ago died, but I think The Expendables actually has a very good chance of reviving it.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the film has been getting so much internet buzz, and it was a huge hit at Comic-Con, the big comics convention in San Diego.
Yeah.
And which
it's
says
bigger than Sundance as a test out market.
Yeah, and I think that says a lot about the fact that it's got a potentially younger audience. I mean, it's filled with all these old guys, and there's a lot of classic rock on the soundtrack, but it's got a younger following.
But you, as I said, you think the Macho Man is it could. I mean, Expendables aside, unless the Expendables brings about a revival, the Macho Man's kind of dead.
The Macho Man is kind of dead.
You're sad about that.
I'm sad about it. Maybe it's because I'm a child of the 80s and I remember the good old days of, you know, Schwarzenegger and
Jean-Claude
Van Damme.
Isn't Russell Crowe a macho man? I mean,
he's been more a macho man off screen, I think, than on screen.
Yeah,
he hasn't really made the kind of action film that we're really talking about, what they call hard action, Predator,
okay.
Die Hard, those kind of things.
Right.
You know? Those things are gone. I don't really know what killed it, but I think the genre basically became kind of formulaic. I think it got a little campy at some point. But
you don't let the girls talk is basically the problem.
Well, we're going to let the girls
talk.
Emily?
We're
going to let the girls talk here because, Emily, you can hear the nostalgia from Rafer, right? He regrets the loss of the macho action
misty
guy. Yeah. But, Emily, are you also mourning the loss of the macho guy?
I'm not mourning it
at all.
Let
me guess.
No. I mean, well, personally, any film that's more than 30% driving, running, shooting, exploding, like, I just zone out. It's like watching paint dry. I can't take it. But I understand that there is an appeal. There is a fantasy. It's not my fantasy, but underneath all of that running and shooting, I've noticed a lot of daddy issues in these hard action movies. And I feel like those running, exploding, and those very superficial, super macho man characters have kind of eased that daddy issue message into the lives of a lot of gentlemen. And I would like to think that maybe psychologically guys are prepared for a more complex storyline that will deliver
but
that.
But let me ask you something.
A recent
film that's doing relatively well is Salt, which is pretty much nonstop stunts, car chases, explosions, and shootouts. Does it make it better if it's a woman doing all those things?
The only sense that it does is that you see someone who actually has some vulnerability.
Angelina Jolie is a woman? Is that right?
Believe it.
Really?
Yeah.
Rafer,
what about
for you? Is that a change? Is Angelina in that starring role, does that kind of signal the death of the Macho Man?
It's hard to say. I mean, that was the film that was originally written for a man.
Tom Cruise,
and
right.
They basically just switched the name from Edwin to Evelyn. And
Tom Cruise is a man?
Tom Cruise is also a man. That's right. And Angelina Jolie dresses as a man in that
she
movie.
She does.
Yeah. You know, to me, I think I don't know what happened, but I think there are no more of those barrel-chested sort of Burt Lancaster, Burt Reynolds, Schwarzenegger,
Charlton
Bruce Willis.
Heston.
Yeah, Charlton Heston. Those guys are all gone. And now when you see someone try to be an action hero, it's Tobey Maguire and Jake Gyllenhaal and
no more John Wayne.
Clooney.
No, no more
Clooney
John
being
Wayans.
Kind of Mr. Brainiac guy.
Yeah, and Clooney's not a puncher kicker, kind of guy.
But is that a loss to the art of film?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what I think actually has contributed to that. I think subconsciously, I think America's faith in the military has been shaken. I think in the 80s, when those films were at their height, I think people had a really firm belief that the American military could come in and use physical force, if necessary, to stop anything.
Although Rocky was about the comeback of the American military after Vietnam. So in a sense, it's sort of gone full circle.
Rambo.
Rocky to a certain extent.
Emily, what about you? What about losing these John Wayne archetypes?
I would much rather take, you know, like, I would say that Fight Club in 1999 really was like the beginning of the new wave of a new kind of action guy that was a lot more psychological,
right.
A lot more cerebral.
Okay. A lot more hugging.
Yeah. Well, a difference of opinion. So both talking about the death of the macho man in films. And while we're speaking about macho men, Rafer Guzman and Emily Rems, we want to ask you about Arnold Schwarzenegger, arguably one of the great macho men film stars. But in one of his films, he did the least macho thing he could possibly do. What movie are we talking about?
This is the trivia question.
As usual, I have no idea. I'm completely stumped.
Emily?
I'm going to guess Kindergarten Cop.
No.
Yeah, I was going to guess Twins just because, you know.
Junior.
I'm pregnant.
That's
That's where he
what's the film? What is the film?
That is Junior.
Junior.
That is Junior. Rafer
Guzman,
takeaway movie contributor, film critic for Newsday, and Emily Rams, managing editor for Bust Magazine.
Childbirth is macho, I think.
No. It is macho.
Yeah, that's true. We both just said, all right, here, one more trivia question for you. Rafer, you've seen the credits to the new Will Ferrell comedy, The Other Guys. We talked about
yes.
It. Yeah. With a PowerPoint presentation with graphics contrasting the Ponzi scheme, which was in the movie. A serious credit, right? Right. Well, let's do a trivia question on credits, all right?
Okay.
Rafer and Emily, what famous 1980s movie credits ends with this memorable moment? Listen carefully.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Yeah.
Any takers?
Ferris Bueller's Day
Off.
Nice!
Bueller.
Nice! All right, he comes in.
Yeah, I got one.
All right, well, keeping in that theme of the close, Rafer Guzman, thanks so much. Emily Rems, thanks so much for being with us. We're going to close with some serious sort of PowerPoint look at some things we were talking about this morning. Over 1 billion people, that's nearly 1 in 4 of the world's population, do not have enough to eat. To put that in perspective, that's more people than the entire populations of the U.S., Canada, and the European Union combined. Change slide.
65% of the world's hungry live in only 7 countries. That's India, China, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Bangladesh, Indonesia, Pakistan, and Ethiopia.
Change slide. While the world's billionaires own assets that exceed the combined annual incomes of the countries that house 45% of the world's population, those billion hungry people you mentioned subsist on less than $1 per day. Next slide.
Every year, 15 million children die of hunger, but for the price of one missile, a school full of hungry children could eat lunch for every day for 5 years. You can hear our conversation about whether or not food should be a legal right. That's at thetakeaway.org. And we want to hear what you think about this. Should food be a basic human right? You can call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
And we were inspired for this credit sequence brought to you by takeaway engineer Tim Einenkill. From an original concept by Tim Einenkill, script by Tim Einenkill, original screenplay by Tim Einenkill. Any representation to people living or dead is purely coincidental. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I am Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
Is it still Friday the 13th? It still is.
All day.
Oh.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.